You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is the weekly chart show that is not called Chartsomania. My name's Isia.
It should be, though.
I don't know. I disagree. but hi, I'm Isia. You guys want to introduce yourselves again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Jay.
And I am James.
Awesome. How's your week been?
Oh my god, it's been stressful. I mean, I just got the results from a chem midterm that went not great. But yeah, I've been trucking along.
Nice, nice. How about you, Jay?
I got one more midterm tomorrow and then it's over for a bit.
A week.
So, yeah. it's okay though. Yeah.
Well, there's few ways to unwind that are better than listening to the CITR charts that we release weekly. To start off, I'm going to be playing Ghost by Desire off of their record Escape and Pareidolia by Wake off of their record Thought From Descent. Oh, never mind. Thought Form Descent. Enjoy. We'll be right back. Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is the weekly chart show with Isaiah, Jay, and James. And you just heard Ghost by Desire and Pareidolia by Wake. Sounds like Pareidolia inspired you guys to think about ambient music, and you had some thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's ambient music, it can be very powerful in its own way. And especially, I mean, if you're like using it to study, you're not really paying attention, but it has its own beauty, and I really like it. I think, Jay, you had something.
Yeah, I tried using like a Brian Eno album to study last night, but I just ended up falling asleep. So I think I need to give.
Was it like the new one that just came out?
No, like an old one, like okay. Music for Airports or something. But I need like, I think I need to dedicate my mind to actually like paying attention, because it's just really like serene, nice music sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I just need that. So
yeah, I think ambient music is one of the few things that I can study with. Like music with words will always trip me out. Just because I'm like always in the back of my mind, like, oh, what are they saying? You know, I'm a little bit curious. But yeah, ambient music is good. Like I was hammering out some math homework last night. I was listening to Earth 2. So like, I mean, can you call that ambient? I guess it's ambient, right?
It's like a drone. It's
like drone metal. Yeah. I thought it was good. Or like, I don't know. I guess it's getting more into noise discussion. But music like that, you know, it's good. I like it. Ambient stuff.
Yeah, I thought that song was really nice.
Yeah, that last song was very, very pleasant. Gave me a very, like, ethereal, like, levitating feeling. I really like that.
Yeah.
I think for studying music, like, anything that's repetitive enough, like, I could listen to, like techno is good.
But I could, okay.
But, like, not interesting techno, just, like, very, like,
what about
repetitive.
Like Daft Punk, like, Homework? Like, I was listening to that while studying, and I could not focus because I was just jamming out too hard.
True. I feel like Daft Punk is too fun. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
it's gotta be pleasant. Like, yeah, I guess it's gotta be more like house, like something you throw on in the background.
Real ambient.
Yeah.
Real ambient.
Sure. Well, we have more songs for you guys. Up next, we got Something You Know by Blood Orange off of his new EP, Four Songs, and Ordinary Girl by Hazy Sour Cherry. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Okay, well, wait, are you going to do like an intro or something?
I guess. This is CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to The Chart Show. You just heard Ordinary Girl by Hazy Sour Cherry. And before that was Something You Know by Blood Orange. They got something to say. Say it.
Hazy Sour Cherry, banging. Really good music. I feel like Japanese artists always like just got the sauce, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like Japanese artists like fly under the radar too much.
Yeah.
Or, like, we don't give them the attention they deserve.
There's some really good stuff out there. I mean, like, it's kind of surface level, but I've always really loved Fishman's, like, a lot. Like, Long Season. Oh my God. That's good study music.
Everyone's
actually
obsessed with, like, Lamp. That band?
Lamp, yeah. I did listen little bit of Lamp. Lamp is pretty good.
Just like really chill, jazzy type of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff. And I mean, like, with like Japanese pop music, I mean, I was just talking about, but not on air, Shinaringo. I think the song Rush Job, I don't think that's exactly what it translates to, but I just threw it into Google to like try and find an English name that I could actually pronounce, you know, because I'm a little bit stupid, but it's probably the best pop song ever made. There's a harpsichord solo, like a break. Oh my God, it's so good, it's so beautiful, and there's like string hits in the chorus. Very, very good arrangement. Love it a lot.
Yeah, I think like listening or like hearing like city pop stuff from like the 80s, like Get Popular, that's what kind of got me
like
into
stuff like Out of Tokyo. Like,
yeah, there's like the song called like Dress Down, like that got really big just like online in general.
That
kind of like sound really like brought me towards like, okay,
yeah, like, there's definitely like a very unique like sound that a lot of Western artists aren't able to recreate, and you can find only captured by like a lot of those like Japanese like city pop sort of vibe, right?
Yeah.
I really enjoy that stuff. I need to find more to listen to, but that's definitely one of the good ones.
Yeah.
One of
so the good.
It's a good scene. What are your favorite Japanese artists?
I don't know.
You don't?
I feel like I can't think of any off the top of my head. I also like, yeah, it's like a whole country. Like I can't really,
yeah,
you know. The Attack on Titan theme song is really good.
Oh
from
my
season
God. Okay.
Four, part one. You know the one with
yeah,
the breakdown?
Yeah, that's the good one. That is
good. That one?
I really like
that.
Okay,
a great
my
song.
Favorite is Flügel der Freiheit, like the second season one.
Mm.
That one, it's so epic. That's all I can say, is it's epic.
Also, the Parasite theme song also bangs.
Oh, yeah. They make really good like theme songs or like soundtrack music too.
Yeah, it's like I don't even skip a lot of the time. I listen. And the only like shows I consistently don't skip the theme music for, Gilmore Girls, the Carole King song. It's not Carole King singing it in the actual thing, but like they just covered it. I listen to it at least 70% of the time. I'll just watch the title sequence because I'm like, this song's great. It's well written.
I mean, they're only like 10 seconds long, but like the Breaking Bad intro, you know, like the bow, bow. I gotta listen to it every time. It's so like, the mood is just set immediately right after. The anime intros, they always bang
or
as
like
well.
Cowboy Bebop, do you know that one?
Yeah, like what's it great. Called? What's the name of the song? Because it has an actual name. Right?
Yeah,
but the saxophone, like, oh my God, it's so good. I've never even watched Cowboy Bebop, which is probably a bad thing.
I haven't
but
watched it. Either.
I will listen to the intro just because it's so good. I love that one so much.
Yeah, I know my answer is very dumb.
No, that is not a dumb answer, because they're actually,
it's honest,
they're great.
I don't know that much about what's going on in Japanese music, to be honest.
Well,
what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say shout out to Hazy Sour Cherry, based in Tokyo, right?
Yeah, Tokyo.
Yeah, they're really cool. I like that song a lot.
It's a good song. We're gonna play a couple ads right now, and then we'll be back with lots of new music and stuff to talk about.
Now Eurovision. Hey, actually it's called Shindig. Prepare for the ultimate battle of the bands. The best from Vancouver's musicians come together to show their talents. Starting with 16 bands and one final winner.
Qualifiers on November 1st, 5th, 18th, and 27th. With the finale on December 2nd. at the Redgate Art Society. Be there or like be square.
CITR is powered by Guayaquil Yerba Mate. Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaquil Mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaquil is more than just a Yerba Mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of Yerba Mate. Visit guayaquil.com, G-U-A-Y-A-K-I.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free Yerba Mate can.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And up next, we got Sorrowful Soil by Bjork off of her new record, Fasora. And Say Something by Belle Larson off of their new record, Good Grief.
The same way you did 6 months ago.
Hello. Hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is the Weekly Chart Show with Isia, Jay, and James. You just heard Sorrowful Soil by Bjork and Say Something by Bells Larson. And since we just played a Bjork song, I wanted to talk a little bit about her music video for Ancestra and how, like, wild and just, like, how much went into making that music video, because it's, like, one of the craziest music videos I think I've seen.
Yeah, I think definitely, well, the focal point and, like, my favorite part definitely is the costume design, and you're right, like, the amount of time that went into all of that must have been, like, must be a huge figure, and like the amount of different brains and ideas that went into that, it was just really breathtaking. I really love that music video.
Yeah, I like when the artist like actually like puts their mind to something, and like it's not just some like thing cobbled together.
Oh, for like the for the music video.
Yeah, for the music video. It's yeah, like they have like a vision and they're like, okay, this is what I want it to be, and then they just yeah, do everything.
Yeah, I mean, creative directing goes a long way. It's, you know, it's not all about, like, the glamour and everything. You gotta have a nice little package, nice little story for everybody to follow along. I was saying earlier that, like, a good music video feels like almost, now I forget the exact word I use, but it's like an accompaniment to the music. Like, a good music video, in my mind, complements the music more than the music complements the video. So that's just what I think. What do you guys like in a music video?
I like, obviously, yeah, the more original a music video is, the more fun it is to watch. And one music video I really like is for this band called Tradewind, for their song Weather Eyes. It's just the lead singer of the band and his friend. And his friend is teaching him like this dance routine, and he's just like trying to dance. And it's just them and like, I don't know, a nice building with nice architecture, just like learning this dance. And it's pretty simple, but I just thought it was cool because it's like so earnest, and like he's not a dancer at all, and he's like kind of awkward, but he just like wanted to learn the dance. And I just thought, I don't know, you don't see like earnestness shown in general very much.
Yeah, that's and a hard emotion to portray, I feel like genuinely, or like in a way that doesn't come across as forced.
Yeah.
So yeah, that you're right. That is a rare thing to see, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And there are music videos like the Strokes video for All the Time, like literally that record they made just to get out of their record deal with RCA, and the music video was obviously like no one really cared about it, and they just like threw in a bunch of like clips from like back in the day. But I love that music video. It's so cute. Nice. And nostalgic. I'm like, ah, like I feel like this puts me in my feels, even though I'm not a member of the Strokes and these are not my memories. So even if it is a super basic video that like obviously was kind of thrown together like with the song that's like super nostalgia like based, and then the music video is the same way, I'm like, it works.
Nostalgia is a powerful tool.
It's so powerful, which is why it makes so much money and we keep on getting the same things over and over again. But that's a different discussion.
Yeah.
What do you like about music videos, Jay?
I was just thinking, like, I don't know, when I was, or it seems like in the past, like, music videos were more at the forefront of music. Like, it'd be like, oh, yeah, have you seen that music video? Or, like, oh, have you seen this? Have you seen that?
With, like, MTV culture and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but now it's, like, it's really much more of, like, a special thing for, like, a music video to, like, explode or like get really big. It's
yeah,
like a really yeah, big deal, because it's like, oh, like you actually made it.
Yeah, it's it feels a lot more like an art form now and less like an obligation.
Yeah, I think before it was like, okay, like you release a single, okay, we got to make some music video.
Yeah,
it's
exactly,
just gonna be us
yeah,
playing the song or something.
Yeah, it's just, you know, some cool zoom in shots, like, you know, fit the era a little bit.
But now it's like people have like creative freedom, kind of. I mean, they did before, but like,
well,
I mean,
yeah, I guess like a lot of the big ones are probably restrained by their labels and stuff, but I feel like people are realizing what you're talking about, and there needs to be more of like that, like,
yeah,
artsy side to it. It needs to be a little bit more creative to have a good impact as a music video. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do feel like I'm trying to think of someone who's like super famous, like big studio, not studio, big, what's the word?
Big record label?
Label. Big yeah, label yeah, backing, who makes pretty creative videos. And I feel like Doja Cat is really good at that. Like, I feel like she has, like, in the time that she's been famous, she's made, like, so much. And I feel like she has, like 20 music videos that are all, like, distinct and, like, pretty creative. And you can tell she has fun with them.
I'll have to check out some Doja Cat music videos.
Yeah, I think some of the more recent ones, like, there's some boring ones. But that's just because she, like, makes, like, she just does a lot of volume, mm-hmm. which I guess works for her. But yeah, music videos are awesome. When I was a kid, I would just sit and watch them all day on MTV. I don't know why my parents let me do that, but, like, Black Eyed Peas.
I have, like, my strange memories of, like, the real Slim Shady. Like,
yeah.
You know, that music video where, like, everybody's in the, like, hospital gowns and stuff. And then, like, I don't know. It's some weird nostalgia trip that feels like a dream. I don't know. Yeah. I haven't watched that music video in probably 10 years.
I remember I was, like, 4 or something, and I got shown the Thriller music video, and it, like, really scared me.
I think
like, a few friends at the time, it, like, really scared us. And, yeah.
Yeah, that's a... Honestly, I can see that. I can feel that. It is kind of scary.
That's great.
Yeah, and it was probably one of the first times someone, like, did something like that in a music video, which is why Thriller is so iconic.
Yeah, it's like a little movie thing, too.
Yeah. When Michael Jackson died, there was a special on the TV, which was, like, top 50 Michael Jackson. They basically, like, paid all his music videos in a row, and I, like, watched
oh, that's
all
awesome.
Of them. They're good.
That's
Shout
really
out to Michael
good.
Jackson.
Yeah.
We have a couple more songs to play for you guys. So up next, we got Mono Retriever by Dummy and TV by Clarka Wainwright.
Thank you.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I came here to remind you who we are, but I also realized that I want to play some ads. You just heard Mono Retriever by Dummy and TV by Clarka Wainwright. After the ads, we're going to be talking about Canadian artists and playing a couple more songs.
Are we done with them?
No. They must have seen you.
I don't have any friends and you can too. Tune into Teachable Moments on 101.9 FM every Tuesday at 4 p.m. if you're a f***ing dork.
I specifically said no geeks.
But my mom says I'm cool.
Hello, I'm Addy Wolf and this is my new single, Mastery. You can go check the music video on my website, adewolf.com. That's adewolf.com. Bless.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is the weekly chart show. And we wanted to talk about some of our favorite Canadian artists. Who are yours?
I guess I'll go first because I can rant about this band for as long as you want me to. But I was just talking about how Ontario, like everybody's from Ontario, but
it's populous.
It's populous. It has Toronto. It has Ottawa. And Ottawa is where Twerp is from. TWRP. Little like synth rock disco little thing going on there. Oh man, I love them so much. They all dress in their little costumes, and they all have they're all alter egos. Like they play in character. The main guy is named Dr. Sung, and he uses a talk box, and I think it's probably the coolest thing ever. If you ever want to check them out, you know, you should listen to the album Together Through Time. The art is very cool, and I love it a lot.
Okay.
let's hear you, Jay.
I was just thinking about Destroyer because I went to see Destroyer earlier this year.
Nice. How was that?
That was like absolutely amazing. Like I think it must have been like over 2 hours long. It was like really long.
Oh wow.
And he had like all the stuff from the albums that you can imagine. He had the trumpet player and
oh nice.
Everyone is just like really amazing, and I got him to sign my record after. So
ooh, nice. Did you like wait out back?
My claim to fame. Yeah.
Nice.
I think Destroyer is from Vancouver too, so local. Just really nice. Yeah. Just
cool,
nice indie
cool.
Indie rock.
Yeah, I mean Canada like kinda, I don't know, we don't catch flack, but like everybody always props up like these artists from the USA, right? But Canadians got some good stuff. There's some good stuff there, especially if you dig a little bit deeper. I mean, like, there's the big names, like Drake and Justin Bieber, but, you know, there's some good stuff out there. I really love Twerp. I mean, Destroyer. ACI?
I don't know who my favorite Canadian artists are. This question made me think more about, because Canada's such a big country, right? So it's, like, impossible to qualify a Canadian sound because we're all so spread out. And we're all
true.
From different provinces. So I was wondering, how would you describe, like, where you're from? The sound it is from where you're from. Like, I feel like because I'm from the GTA, it's all, like, all our big artists who have broken out are, like, melodic rap and, like, R&B artists. Like, obviously Drake, but then, like, Roy Woods and Mahi Jordan and like Party Next Door and Nav, like all these people, they're all like Drake's babies, and that's like I don't know, Always, and like obviously there's a bunch of big Toronto like indie bands, but what really felt like people got excited about like when I was in high school and like what people were like, these people are from Toronto, it was all like those guys, like all the
oh yeah
the rappers.
I mean, Yeah, the Toronto rapper scene, or like the rap scene in Toronto, is just, I mean, there's so much. I always hear my friends talking about different Toronto rappers. Like, I know Top 5 was one that they always brought up. I don't know if I ever actually listened to his music, but there's so many people that I could go and dig through for Toronto. Such a big populous place.
I want to know what's happening in the Midwest, in like Saskatchewan. Like, I want to know what's up there.
I was just about to like say, in Saskatchewan, you know, it's really chill. That's where I'm from, Saskatchewan. Saskatoon, shout out. I mean, I don't know if I should shout out Saskatoon. There are some, it's an all right place, you know, but the music there is pretty good. I mean, I was just talking about like Andy Schaaf off air, right? He is really amazing. Like, I've been listening to him a lot more recently. Actually, one of my favorite high school teachers first introduced me to him. Shout out Mr. Cassette.
Cassette,
yeah, like a tape. Oh, but wow. Spelled with an O instead of an A.
Oh, like so Les Mis, like the, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. French Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool guy, philosophy major, and yeah, he showed me Andy Schaaf. Really love Andy Schaaf. I mean, he's just like, he makes really beautiful little guitar songs, and his songwriting is really poignant and just beautiful. It makes me cry, like, every time.
Do you think his music is a good reflection of, like, what's going on in Saskatoon? Not Saskatoon, in Saskatchewan in general, in the music scene? Like, do you think there's a lot of people who kind of sound similar to him?
I think, like, kind of, there's a lot of people kind of off, like, bedroom pop sort of thing, where people will go and like, I feel like Saskatchewan definitely embodies like a similar Midwest vibes to the US, where it's kind of like, you know, like slower and like a little bit sad boy, right? But there's definitely, I know for the bands that play shows in my city, I mean, they're all age majority venues, so I'm like kind of out of luck to go to a lot of them, but I know there are some local like punk bands that play. A couple of friends from high school were playing like punk gigs, which is really cool. But it's definitely not as vibrant as here in Vancouver, so I've really been loving it here. But Saskatchewan as a whole, definitely Andy Schaaf is a great figurehead for us, I would like to think.
That's nice, because I know Vancouver is like, at least recently, like Vancouver kind of popped off with the indie scene, like your Mac DeMarco, your Peach Pit.
Is he from here? Isn't he from like?
Well, okay, like BC. Like,
no, but is he even from BC? Like, isn't he low-key from Alberta?
Oh, is he like a BC faker?
Like, I think BC claims him.
I don't know. He got big here. I think we claim him. But
because Grimes, you know, Montreal, but she's from here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
she's
so it's like
she's from Vancouver. Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
But I feel like Vancouver's cool now because there's like a whole punk scene and everything.
The scene here is really great. I've really been enjoying it. So much music to enjoy here. And I mean, all the way from punk to like jazz, right? Like you can find shows every weekend, stuff to do. So it's great.
Shout out to living in a city.
Shout out to living in a city.
I feel like when I was in first year, it was like, that was like when Peach Pit was like,
ooh,
popping off, which I think is really funny. I just remember going to their Halloween show, and now they're so famous. Like, I was in Austin, and their records were in the record store in Austin, and I was like, that's weird.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm like, they're so Vancouver in my brain, and they're like all over the place.
But I've never had the opportunity to like follow a band from like local status to like bigger fame. I think it would be fun to, you know, kind of get to know them a little bit more and then follow them as they progress through their journey of infamy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess it's just rare that people blow up and really make it.
Yeah, it is rare.
Is there anyone in Vancouver who you're like, this person needs to be famous, worldwide famous, like they need to be, you know? Anyone? Any bands? Anything? I have an answer.
Okay, how about you go first?
How about you go first?
I think Prado should be a pop star. I think she should be like super famous, and I'm waiting for it to happen because I think she'll do super well, and I think a lot of people would like her, and I think it's her destiny, and it's going to happen eventually. That's my answer. Prado. Yeah.
I feel like for me, there's a couple bands in the punk scene that I think are like really, really creative and I really love, but I, for the life of me, I can't think of their names, so I want to double check. Do you have anything, Jay? And I can try and pull them up.
I'm thinking of like, at least some, like, bands that I've played with, like, I'd really love to see, like, Bleeko's Nuclear Disco just, like, get big because I love them. And
they've played the station.
Yeah, exactly. So I'd love to see them get big because they're just, I feel like their live shows are just so charismatic. And, like, whatever I've played with them, they're just the nicest people. And, yeah, they're great. So
awesome. Yeah. I am, like, struggling here. I really wanted to find the name of this band. I, like, just sent them a message over the weekend.
That's okay.
Oh, no, wait. Gosh. Nature Lake. It's just a duo right now, but oh, my God. I saw them at a venue downtown. They are so incredibly creative, and I love them so much. Shout out to Nature Lake.
Mm. There's someone I know, Faven Kadane. She's a jazz trumpet player.
Oh yeah, I've heard about her.
She has like a trio now, and she's like playing all over the place in like New York and stuff.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, she's really, really talented. Her music's crazy. She also plays the bass really crazy and piano, like just all around crazy musician. So I feel like I'm waiting for her to be like world famous, like one of those random like you know how like Esperanza Spalding like is randomly so famous, even though like it's not like her music is made to appeal to a lot of people, but for some reason this like stand-up bassist became like relevant in the world, know? I feel like that's Faven's, that's what I want for her. I want her to get a Grammy over Justin Bieber. Like that's what happened with Esperanza, and then everyone got mad at her because they were like, Justin Bieber deserved the Grammy, but she got it. Anyways.
Well, that's good.
I digress.
Honestly, I mean, we definitely need to give more Grammys to those sorts of artists. I don't think Justin Bieber needs another Grammy.
This was for new artists. So
was he a baby? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I see. But like, I don't know. I mean, Justin Bieber is Justin Bieber. But I mean, I liked his little like YouTube thing he had going on because he blew up off of like the internet, right? Like that was his thing.
Yeah, Usher discovered him.
Oh, okay.
little drummer boy.
Yeah, he drums
online. Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was like a guitar kid.
He's a drummer. He's actually I don't know.
I didn't know that, actually. I'm not caught up on the Justin Bieber lore.
That's okay. He's from Stratford, Ontario, though, so shout out to Ontario. I just love all the, like, Avril Lavigne's from Tiny Town, Ontario as well. Like, I think it's funny.
Small town artists are definitely the best ones.
But it's funny because they're not, it's not like they, like, were in the scene. They just got discovered, put on a label, and then blew up.
Yeah, and then they got, like, sucked into everything. I really wonder what it's like to see all that from their perspective.
Probably insane. It probably does something to your brain if you're that young.
Oh yeah,
you're just that rich like and successful. Young,
yeah. I mean, like, that's probably why Justin Bieber turned out the way that he did. So
yeah,
okay.
I mean, well, it's not like he's in a bad place, but I mean, like, I just remember like knowing him as like the young, like cute boy, put out Baby. The music video was cute.
He got
right?
bullied,
and then like
he got bullied. Like, I would turn out as an awful person if the whole.
I guess yeah, he got bullied by the entire world, and then. I just remember seeing the music video for Beauty and the Beat with Nicki Minaj.
Iconic video. And he was a good music video. We're talking about music videos earlier. That's a great music video.
he was grinding on her. And it was weird to me because I was so young and I was like, oh, he's like sexualized now.
That was the F-boy era. I saw him live. I won a ticket. And I was a Bieber hater. And then I saw him live. And it didn't really help because he was late. But I still think it's funny that I got to see him live a couple years like. During the boyfriend era, which is the same era as Beauty and the Beat, when he was just like super F boy.
Yeah, that was, I think that was the most memorable Justin Bieber era to me. That might just be me though.
Also, You Smile on his first EP or record. That song is a good song. I'm like, that boy is singing. Like, it's a good song.
I mean, his voice is just like really astonishing.
True. We only have a couple minutes left, so I was thinking we can finish off with a song. Are you guys feeling the Bertie Strange song or the Ellie Murrow song?
I was thinking.
Oh, the Eli.
Sorry.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah,
are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. This is Observatory by Eli Murrow off of Wishbringer. See you next week.
pretty.